We continue our reading of Matthew's Gospel, still in the Sermon on the Mount, and today we read from Matthew 6:19 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 34. Matthew chapter 6:19 to 34, and Jesus touches on some very important issues. First of all is the problem of idolatry through possessions. And here we have the famous statement of Jesus, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." And he talks about how even here in this age, our treasures don't last. They're insecure. We can lose them. You hide it under your mattress and it's gone, that kind of thing. But more than that, we can't take it into heaven. Store treasures in heaven. See, it's the heavenly treasures. This is a perspective that says, I'm passing through this life. So I'm not trying to accumulate wealth now, but I'm trying to accumulate blessings in heaven. Francis Schaeffer once said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead of you. The work that we do in the kingdom of Christ, when we witness and lead people to salvation, we encourage one another, the benefits of that are going to be eternal, and we're going to enjoy those, but the things of this earth will be lost. Now, he is not, in fact, saying that money is bad. We live in a world, you use money to put your kids to school, you clothe your families, you put gas in your car. We use money, but it's the wrong priority of money, he says. And the key statement is verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's one thing to say, look, I've got to make a living. I've got to work hard. You do. And I'm responsible. I'm going to do it. But when it's our treasure, when our heart is in it. No, our heart is to be given to the Lord. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will devote himself to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We next talk about anxiety. So if you feel like, oh, I'm pretty good on money, well, what about anxiety? And this is just great wisdom here. And Jesus' logic is, you know, I realize that if there was not a God, if you did not have a covenant-keeping, sovereign, almighty God who loved you, there'd be a lot to lie awake at night over. It's a bad world. It's getting worse. It's true. He's not saying, don't worry, it's just great. No, it's horrible, but you have a God. And he makes some wonderful analogies, considering the birds of the air. They don't have jobs. They don't plan. They're different kinds of animals. And God feeds them. Now, this does not mean that we're not to work hard, that we're not to invest in things. But we're to do so without the anxiety because we have a loving God, and he cares for us. What about the lilies of the field? They don't toil nor spin, but God clothes them with a beauty greater than that of the splendor of Solomon. Well, we should not be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, the key statement, one of the great verses of the Gospel of Matthew is verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, it's a matter of priority. The worship of the church, the work of the church. We don't hold on to our money and our time and our lifestyles and make God second. No, we make him first. And then he says, and then all these other things will be added to you. You can safely have worldly things when your whole life's been consecrated to the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he'll be free to give you all kinds of blessings that otherwise would not be safe to entrust with you. Let me conclude with a brief illustration of this. I have found, by the way, that some of the more godly Christians I know are stewards of considerable wealth. And one of them is a friend of mine who happens to own large commercial buildings in a northern city. He owns factory buildings, among other things. And one time there was a big major downturn in the Michigan area. And businesses were closing, and this particular factory had not paid their lease in 6 months. So he paid a visit. He went to the general manager, said, I'm so-and-so, I own the building. You have signed a lease with me, and I just happened to notice you haven't paid me in 6 months. And the man said, well, we kind of thought this was going to happen. And he says, sir, I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. I've got 150 employees. I've got families. We're going to make it good. I'm just trying. I'm doing everything I can. And my friend said, you know, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus. I'll be praying for you. And just start paying me again when you can. But can I have one request? Would you give me permission to come and teach the Bible to your factory members? And seek first the kingdom. Make everything else. And the Lord takes care of it. It all worked out well. Seek first the kingdom. And then money's not that big of a problem. and we'll live without anxiety. Well, I'll stop there. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 19 of chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your own body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.